It's so good to be back with you. I'm always conscious that I'm just the tea boy. I'm just the locum minister at Duntocker, and they are praying for you here in this congregation. I can assure you of that. They are prayers. Thank you too to our organist for the beautiful way in which he led the worship at the funeral service during the week. And also here this evening, thank you. Please pray with me. We thank you, our gracious God, for this occasion of worship, a time of fellowship, and a time of learning yet again that you are sovereign and you are seated at your Father's right hand. And as we call upon you now, we ask that your Holy Spirit will speak to us and enable us to grasp the truth of which we read. We thank you in Christ our Saviour's name. Amen. So I have a question for you. And the question is this. Listen very carefully. Are you good at waiting? One or two nods that way, and one or two nods that way. These airport queues that we stand in seem to be longer and longer. The buses that come a little late. The apologies that we wait for but seldom come from people that have hurt us. The kids that come home from university. We wait. That train delayed again, we wait. The Easter season, known as Eastertide, seems to include a lot of waiting. We sit through Lent. We wait for Easter. We remind ourselves of the time that Jesus spent in the desert before he was able to begin his full-time ministry, waiting to leave the desert and get started. We have the waiting between Good Friday and Easter Sunday as we remember the crucifixion and wait to celebrate the resurrection. And now in the Christian calendar, we're in another period of waiting. You see, Thursday last was Ascension Day. And we've heard about that in our readings that Lackey brought to us. And next Sunday, would you believe, is Pentecost. Are you ready for that? Pentecost, the day when we celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit, the birthday of the church. In today's reading, the Acts, the disciples were focused on Jesus, and they want to know if this is the time. They're like children that I've experienced, and I'm sure you have too. Children on a car journey, wanting to know, Daddy, are we there yet? They believed that God had called Jesus to be the true King of Israel and that they had been called to be his disciples as part of this renewal movement. But Jesus had confused them. They had not expected him to die such a violent death. And now he's back from the dead. Was he now about to renew the kingdom? But Jesus tells them, if you remember from the reading, that the time and the hour are not theirs to know. God has set them by his authority, and we know from Matthew 24 and verse 36 that even Jesus did not know what that time would be. Jesus does not dwell on the question. It's not about what is he going to do next. No, it's what they are going to do. We get the fifth statement of the Great Commission that the disciples will receive the Holy Spirit, and then they'll be able to go out in power and be witnesses to the ends of the earth. Then we come to the climactic part of this particular story. Jesus' ascension to heaven, to return, to sit at the right hand of his Father. He was literally lifted up. Use your imagination. Lifted up and taken out of sight of the disciples. This upward move with clouds then obscuring sight of him is, I think, perhaps what adds to our images of heaven in the sky with angels sitting on fluffy white clouds. Jesus told the disciples, stay here. Stay here in the city until they have been clothed with power. In other words, wait. Wait. Don't go anywhere. You're not ready. Why not? I'm sure they were probably itching to get going. Desperate to go and tell people about everything that had been going on, especially once they had seen Jesus ascend into heaven. Surely they would want to share the news. Now Jesus was not making them wait for fun, and he was not trying to torture them. Firstly, I think this was a way of helping them to have self-discipline. In the same way that you and I would put a treat in front of a dog and then repeatedly say, wait, wait, and make sure they do before we give them the treat. But you and I know we don't always get instant gratification. We cannot have everything straight away. And then Jesus did not want them to rush off, as then they would be doing it in their own strength, pursuing their own agenda, forgetting what their true mission and purpose was. They have to wait for the Holy Spirit, for the presence of God to be in them and with them, and only then will they be able to achieve their mission. Are you with me? Jesus has gone. The light that they have had in their eyes focused on for them for the last 3 years, that light has gone. He has physically departed from this world and returned to heaven. Now this must have been in many ways a huge sense of loss and absence for the disciples at this point. We know now that whilst Jesus may have physically left, he was still very present in the lives of the disciples. But now they had to wait. Wait until the arrival of the promised Holy Spirit. There was a waiting period, a void in their lives. You see, Jesus had quite literally led them up a mountain, but emotionally and spiritually they must have felt as though they were climbing a mountain over their 3 years as his disciples. But from our gospel reading from Luke, we don't actually get the feeling that the disciples were particularly despondent. In fact, as Lackey read to us, chapter 4 ends with these verses, 24. While he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. They were continually in the temple, in the sanctuary, in church, worshipping God. And Acts tells us that they were constantly devoting themselves to prayer. They're not just going to sit and do nothing while they wait. They are going to be productive in that time. They are going to stay busy. Not with mindless things and time-wasting activities, but with worship and prayer. They were people of purpose. People who knew their calling, who knew what they were to do, who knew that God had a task for them and would equip them to fulfill it. Not only that, this sense of purpose came with another promise which we read about at length in John's Gospel, the promise of power from on high, the gift of God's Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Advocate, and the Helper. The Spirit was to be poured out in a new way, a way that would give authority and power to the message and would equip them for all that they had to do. It was this power that would sustain them through all that they faced. It was this power that would assure them of the reality of the presence of God. It was this power that would make it possible for them, not with the internet, not was able to accomplish possible. Now, since September of 2022, you have been in a season of waiting. Yes? The Presbytery has been deliberating, and my understanding is that it has come up with a plan, but you're still waiting. Waiting to see how and when that plan will come to fruition. You're in a season of waiting for what we trust will be a new season of ministry. You have been diligent in your covering the responsibilities to one another in worship and service. And many of you have discovered new avenues of service in the process. You've been busy in ministry. As a church, you too will be going into a period of waiting in the autumn, maybe later, maybe earlier, but waiting to start the recruitment process to discern God's waiting to see who responds, waiting to interview them and then announce who it will be. Now, my encouragement to you tonight is not to let this be a stagnant time, a waiting period when nothing happens. I have learned, and I honour you, and I'm very serious when I say this, you are an incredibly gifted group of people. You and those who worship in the Sunday morning service. Incredibly gifted, and there is so much that you can be doing. The Holy Spirit is in you and is with you, and He will be doing amazing things in the coming months. You will develop fruits of the Spirit that you did not know you had or indeed needed. Perhaps patience in the waiting, even more kindness towards one another, joy in new roles and new ways that you contribute to the church, more love for your elders who become the ones who are in charge and responsible for the church during the vacancy. They have a lot to do during the vacancy and will much be in need of your prayers, your love, your support, and your encouragement. I believe that the Holy Spirit is going to release even more gifts within this church too, and many of you will step up and step out. This church can and will continue to flourish as you grow and as you wait, that word again, as you wait for your next leader. But, please hear me, you are a team effort. There will be new roles for people to pick up, more ways in which people will be needed to help out. Be active in the waiting. In the same way as Jesus had promised the disciples the Holy Spirit would be coming, you will get a new minister. But in the meantime, follow the example of the disciples. Meet together here in the temple, as it were. Continue to worship. Be filled with joy and united as one family. Over the coming weeks, you will transition over responsibility. People will be saying to you, "Can you help?" And you will need to say, "I'm in. I can help out." So, my brethren, let us all be active. Let us think about the gifts that the Spirit has given us and how they can be used to build up and support the body of this wonderful family called church. Church was God's idea, not yours, not mine. It was God's idea. And you are it. God bless you, and thank you for listening.